behind those things. We do them, first of all, to bring honor to God. The end goal of everything that the well does is that God might be seen for how amazing he is. And when you hear what God is doing through different ones of us, how he's teaching us and leading us and transforming us, it brings God lots of glory. And so we do testimony services to show off our God and to bring him honor. Secondly, we do testimony services to encourage each other. Oftentimes, one of the things that encourages us the most is when we hear somebody say the very same thing we're going through, or hear somebody kind of verbally communicate the things that are in our heart and say, yes, that resonates with me. And so we found over the years, as we've had different people share, the church has been so encouraged because they can relate to and kind of resonate with the different things that God has put on the hearts of those we have share. So we do these to give encouragement to the church. And then thirdly, we do these to help us appreciate and understand each other's stories. That when you walk through those doors, you're not just a number, right? You're not just kind of a name and a face in the crowd, but you are a unique story of God's grace and transformation. And a lot of times we don't get to hear those stories because there's so much to do and there's so many of us. So we want to slow down sometimes and just hear, how is God working in this brother's life, or how is God working in this sister's life? And to understand that and appreciate and marvel at what God's doing in our little community. So that's why we do it. And so I'm really excited today to have two speakers that we have asked to share. And I'll introduce them each as they come up. So first, I'm really excited to introduce Sarah Coleman. Sarah, if you remember a few months ago, we went through 1 Thessalonians, particularly 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which dealt with the will of God is our sanctification. That's what God wants for us, our holiness. And 1 Thessalonians 4 dealt specifically around the issue of sexual sin, sexual immorality, that God wants us to walk and obey him in holiness with our bodies. I speak that spoke on that with a message, I guess, geared specifically towards men. And then Ashley Larkin spoke on that with a message specifically directed towards women. And after we shared that, Sarah shared something with us elders, just as she was processing and going through just all that the scriptures we talked about through those scriptures. She shared it with us, and we thought, wow, that is really good. No doubt others probably can relate to that. So we have asked her to come share what she shared with us with the wider body. So with that, Sarah.
In case you didn't know, I'm with the drummer of the band, so it's kind of cool. In my job, I'm around thousands of people a day. I make announcements to thousands of people a day. I work for Alaska Airlines, and I've dealt with masses of people angry over flight delays and cancellations. This makes me more nervous. So there's that. All right, let me get my notes. Before we get started, I'm just going to read over again 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8, which are the verses that CJ and Ashley spoke on. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brothers in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives you his holy, who gives the holy, his Holy Spirit to you. In 2014, my life took a major turn, and I went from being married to now being single. I'm already emotional, so this isn't going to go well, I guess. I did not handle that well. I did not know how to handle that well. This church body stood by me and blessed me through that time. But being in a new position, being single, I did not know how to handle all the insecurities that came along with that. I went through counseling to help find my worth in who God has promised me to be, you know, who God who set out to protect me to be. And I struggled. Being in this new job, now working for Alaska, because I got that job after I got divorced, God provided this amazing opportunity for me. I was in a job now where I was around thousands of people all day long who thought I was pretty great for changing their seat assignment. And when I started working there, I hid behind my hair. I wouldn't make eye contact with people. And when I did, I started getting these compliments from strangers. And I thought, that feels really good. So then I thought, maybe I'm not actually as disgusting as I think that I am. Now, let me get something clear. God has always spoken and said, you are beautifully made. You are wonderful. And I was like, yeah, but God, you say that to everybody. I'm hearing this from people who don't say this to everybody. So I started to seek that fulfillment. Then I started seeking that fulfillment through shallow communication with people who I didn't need to have a deep relationship with. I put myself in positions to receive compliments from strangers. I started having communication through social media, through different social apps, that led to discussions that were not God-honoring. And I became addicted to that affirmation. When I was having a bad day, instead of asking God to fulfill me, I got on my phone and went to a dating app because there were going to be 50 messages on there telling me how great I was, probably because I have all my teeth. But I sought it. When CJ spoke about addiction to pornography and how there's this desire when you see like your phone or see some sort of other media device and you kind of got that high knowing like what's going to, you know, the fulfillment you think you're getting out of that. That's what would happen for me with those sites, with those apps. So that's what I did all the time. My sister lived with me at the time. She pointed this out to me, telling me, you are on those things all the time, seeking affirmation from strangers. You are not seeking it from God. So I decided, I'm done. I'm done with all these things. And I went on online to cancel one of my memberships to one of my dating sites. the one dating site that I actually felt like was the biggest waste of time and energy, which was a Christian dating site. And I saw this guy with this incredible beard. And I thought, dang it, I'm going to marry him. That's the guy right there. But God, you told me to shut all this down, but there he is. So now what am I supposed to do? Why hasn't he sent me a message yet? And he didn't. He didn't send me a message. So I thought, well, I'll show him. So I sent him one. And then we started talking. And out the gate, this guy was different. He did not ask for inappropriate conversations. He did not ask for a picture of me, more specifically, a perfectly angled selfie. He just wanted to have coffee with me, which I immediately shot down and said, I don't drink coffee. I eat when I go out on dates. So if you'd like to take me to get something to eat, that's what we can do. Our lunch date turned into four. And a few months later, Josiah asked me to marry him. But during our dating process, he made it very clear to me, I do not want pictures of you. I want to protect you. But by protecting you, that means that I need to know that you are seeking God. Turns out that Josiah didn't have a paid membership on that dating site. I did. That's why I got to see his photo. He only saw a cartoon silhouette of somebody. So he met me completely blind, which actually in our story and in my story is exactly what I needed to have happen. So into our marriage, I'm still taking this struggle with shallow communication with others. I'm still seeking it in my workplace. I'm coming home feeling, still getting this high off of people I don't know telling me how great I am. And then I would say to my husband, why don't you love me more? Don't you know how great I am? Don't you know how amazing I am? Everybody else thinks I'm so great. Why don't you see it? And the thing is, he was telling me every day that he loved me or that he thought I was beautiful, but I was addicted to the constant message of it. And I was destroying a beautiful marriage early on because of that addiction. The message that CJ and Ashley gave opened my eyes to that addiction. In advance, Josiah had already set up safeguards in our marriage where he's like, you know what? I just feel like it's not a great idea for us to have apps that allow us to communicate with the opposite sex or with people without each other knowing about it. So let's just go ahead and get rid of those things. And I was like, you're crazy. Why would we need to do that? And then you're right. We do need to do that. We need to get rid of those things. It got to the point with me where I can't even have a LinkedIn account. I shut down my LinkedIn because I was allowing conversations to come through that avenue. Done. I thought, this is also a way for me to protect my husband. If we need, as women, as wives, if we need an empowering message, you know, if we need a message for us that says, hey, God has given us this opportunity to protect the people around us, then hold on to that. Because when you open up a door for sin to come in, you open up a door for sin to impact your person. By allowing those things to come in to my heart, I was ultimately hurting Josiah and opening up sin into our life. He's responsible for our home. God holds him accountable for what happens in our home. So I'm going to protect him by staying away from those things, by not allowing Satan to use me as a way to hurt my husband. Done. I have a real hard time with not living in the world. And everybody's on social media, and this is not a message about getting off social media for people. Not at all. But I was, said, using it as a way to fulfill me. And I was living in the world with Jesus over here. It's cool if I'm in the world, if I've got Jesus. I'm great. I'm good. I can do all these things because I've got Jesus. But I wasn't living with God over here. That message from both CJ and Ashley reminded me that I have to give up the world. That's why Jesus came. It wasn't so we would just live in the world with him. It's because he wants to have us live and walk with God. So I had to give up all of those things. Even the good parts, like sharing my favorite passenger of the day stories every single day on Facebook, which I love. I had to give it up. So I started talking to other women about this. Because maybe I was like, maybe I'm alone. Maybe I'm a freak that I've been doing these things or having these conversations with people or sending these photos. What's wrong with me? And I'm so ashamed. And I had beautiful Christian women who I look up to and admire come alongside me and say, I do it too. I also struggle in that area. And then I say to my husband, why don't you love me more? Why don't you love me enough? While they're keeping these conversations and these pictures a secret. So it is still a struggle for me. It's still an everyday battle, a choice I have to make to find my worth in God, to know and believe the promises that God has given to me. There's a verse specifically that I love. Let me read it to you. Sorry. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And then Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like the rottenness in his bones. And the last verse I had was Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, the strength of my heart, is my and my portion forever. So I've been reading these verses over and over again to keep me in line with honoring my husband, to help encourage other Christian women, other women, even my non-Christian friends who struggle with this, to stay focused on who God promises us to be in him. God promises to clothe us. That's one of my favorite things, is that God clothes us. That's protection. And that's what I have to remember whenever somebody tries to sneak in, or I'm tempted to seek fulfillment outside of God first, then through Josiah. I can't let Satan win. So that's it. That's all I've got.
We're going to pray. Thank you, Josiah. Thank you. That is brave, to open up your heart and your life to all of us like that for this couple. What an honor that they've given us by letting us into their world in that way. And right, our desire is to grow in the gospel, to grow as a church in the gospel. And because of God's great love for us, he brings these things to light. He refuses to let us stay where we are in a place that ultimately brings us harm and harms those around us. So he brings these things to light. And so it might be that God has used Sarah this morning to bring something to light in your heart. It is probably likely for some folks in this room. And so we would just ask you, don't quench that. Don't run away from that. Don't talk or explain that away, but dig into that. Because that is God's grace towards you. That's his love and kindness towards you. We encourage you to confession, to find someone that you trust, who is mature in the Lord, who you can talk with these things about, to bring these things to light, that you would bring them to God and confess and acknowledge them to him, and then proactively move forward. How, oh God, can I mature and grow to life from this? So, If you would like a woman to pray with, if you're a woman, are Ashley and Jenny here? Are either of them here? Yes. There's Ashley and there's Jenny. They would love to pray for you and or connect you with someone else who can pray for you and walk with you. If you're a guy and this has really struck a chord with you and you would like to be prayed for or somebody to walk with you with, the elders could raise their hand, the elders who are here. Here's three of us. We would love to pray with you and or connect you to others who can pray for you as well. But I think God has been really good to us this morning through the message we've heard, and so we encourage and invite you to respond to it. Amen. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful for our sister. Thankful for the years we've walked together. Thankful for the way you've blessed them, blessed Josiah. And we do just pray your continued blessing on her, your growth in her, your growth in their marriage, your growth in their family. Thank you for the courage that she has shown by sharing this with us. And we just pray you'd continue to do a deep, transformative work in our hearts. For our good, O God, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Amen. So the next person we've asked to share is Rob Bovey. And you know the character of a man by the scrutiny he is willing to endure. So a few years ago, now, how long have you guys been married now? 6 years. So probably about 6 to 7 years ago, as they started dating, which is a long story I won't tell you because I'll send all day. I won't tell the story. I promise. Okay. Okay. Sure. Yes. Okay. I don't mind. No. No, I was just going to talk about when you were over there. Okay. I have this great story, but I'm going to give the mic to you. Okay. He says I need to hold on to it. I will. So we've asked Rob to share, and I'll let him handle it. Tell the story about when you were over there.
You really want me to?
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know. Maybe not. The way you're looking at me. No, we have a lot of respect for Rob. Thankful for him and Sarah and their children. What a blessing they are at our church. And so we've asked him, come, encourage the church, share with us. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's wonderful to be up here. And it's an absolute honor to be a part of this church, to be a part of this body of believers who love so deeply and communicate. We don't need a testimony time up front to communicate the wonder and power of God in our lives on a daily basis. It's wonderful to have this. It's amazing to hear the stories up here. Sarah, you shared a fantastic story of grace, and it's an honor to be speaking after you here. I commend you for coming up here first, because it is nerve-wracking, but I see it almost like the Israelites crossing the Jordan. When they crossed the Jordan, God didn't split the waters first. He made them walk into the water first. And then the river was split, and they finished. It started to recede, and a clear path was made, and they walked through it. And I feel like I got the easy part now. I can just walk through the dry part, because you went into the water first. So thank you. But is it not true? Is it not true that Jesus loves us and he saves us and his love's poured out into us? But how much more amazing is it seeing it and feeling it displayed through the lives of those around us? Amen. And I feel like that's here at this church. When I was asked to share, it's very fitting, I think, that you shared too today, Sarah, because when I was asked to share, the thought that went through my mind was, when I speak, how do I want this to go? And you want it to go well, but I had an image go through my mind, and it was the drummer. It was the drummer at the drums just having at it, just praising God for what he's done and how good he is. And so that went through my mind. And then Sarah's like, hey, be bold. And I'm like, ooh, be bold. and the thought of boldness that went through my mind was actually Josiah, when you stood up and we had this angry guy coming up the middle of the walkway here. And it was at a right in the middle of service. And I guarantee people were watching going, okay, what's happened? What's going to happen here? And you just stood right up and you wrapped him up in those big arms. And you said, we're going to go this way. And we walked right on out. That's boldness. And I thought, man, that's the type of boldness that I want. But it's a pleasure to be up here. And with Sarah, your message too, I want to pick up on this thought, something you shared that really sat with me, is that Jesus is in our lives, and he is walking with us in this world. But he is in a certain place right now. He's right at God's side. And that's actually where I want to pick up right now. I want to go into Revelation 5. I'm going to read this, and we're going to get rolling. So Revelation 5 says this. Then I saw at the right hand of him who is seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns, with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and they worshiped. This is the place of Jesus right now. He's at the right hand of the Father on high. This is his place. And this speaks of a future time when he is going to make himself known to all the world. This is future, but right now, this is where he stands, and there's a worship service going on in heaven, praising him, exalting him, lifting him up on high. Amen. This is happening right now, and there's a future time when it will be revealed. We have to know this. We have to remember this. We have to take this with us in our life. I brought this book up here, the Jesus Storybook Bible. I brought this up here because we read this. We read this each night with our family, and it's wonderful to have a beautiful family to worship and serve the Lord with. It's wonderful to have a beautiful wife to worship and serve the Lord with. This moment up here is, as CJ said, a long time in the making, about 7 years in the making. It's about 7 years in the making. Seven is a good number. It's a number of fullness. It's a number of blessing. It's a number of perfection. And about 7 years ago, he made an announcement up here saying, "Hey, there's this girl we sent out. We sent her out to Africa. She's out there taking the gospel there, but she's coming home. She's coming home. And she's coming home because there's a guy here that she met." And I was here standing, I was here sitting, actually, at the time in service. And Jesus, please, stop. CJ, who preaches Jesus, looks over, and he sees me over there, and he goes, "Rob, I want you to stand up. I want you to stand up here in front of everybody." And I'm like, "Oh, all right." So I'm standing up, and he's saying, "Hey, here's the guy. Here's the guy. She's coming back to meet and greet him. See where this relationship goes." And then he points to me, and he says, "Don't screw this up." I was like, "Whew, here we go." So CJ, I want you to stand up for a second. I just want you to take a moment and stand up. And all I want to say is thank you, brother. Thank you. I want to say thank you. Because Sarah and I wouldn't have met if there wasn't you tromping around the conference that we were at, bugging me this day and that day about who I was and this and that, and then eventually introducing me to Sarah. So thank you. Thank you. But now we got this beautiful family, and, thanks to the Masons, we got this Jesus Storybook Bible. We read it each night. The other night we were reading about, Jesus being crucified, and Job's heart, my boy Job, he's about 4 and a half, his heart was just aching because Jesus died, and we're praying. He's like, Dad, I want Jesus in our house. I want him in our house. Like, Job, that's a wonderful thing. Let's pray. And he's like, Lord, just be present in our home. But no sooner am I getting the words out, he stops me. He's like, no, Dad, I want him in our house. I want him sitting on our couch. I'm like, wow, I mean, this is cool. And I'm amazed that he thinks of Jesus this way. But I said, Job, it's even better now. I go, he's in our hearts. He's in our lives. Jesus isn't on the couch. He's on the throne. He's on the throne. And that gives him the ability to live in our hearts. So all this buildup, what's this to say? Man, I shouldn't be up here. I have no business being up here. My story of belief in the one who saves. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a family that loved us. 5 sisters, a brother. It was a mess at times, but it was good times. And I grew up with parents who loved us. Mom who loved us, supported me immensely. Dad who loved us, encouraged me immensely. And a man and a father who was wise. And I'm so thankful. I can't tell him enough how thankful I am. He didn't know his dad growing up. His father died in World War II, flying a B-17. It tore him apart. And it led him in a life that was filled with many struggles. But he came to know the Lord, and he wanted to pass that on to us. And he was a good dad to me. The dad that he didn't have, he was even more so to me. And he taught me a way of wisdom. He was a Psalms 1 and a Proverbs 1 dad. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Who's the blessed man? It's the one who doesn't go the way of sinners. Isn't the man who's with the wicked. Isn't the man who hangs out with the scoffers. The blessed man is the one who meditates on the word of the Lord and walks in his way, follows his law. That's the blessed man. And what's wisdom? It's the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1. But the fool despises wisdom and instruction. So my dad, he laid this before me. And I listened to some extent. It was interesting to me, but man, oh man, I ended up going my own way. And I appreciate this church because it talks openly about the ways of God. And if there's any perfect way to describe me, I feel like it's about the father who wanted to pass wisdom on to his son. And in passing that wisdom on, he related a story about a young man who went astray. And you can read about it in Proverbs chapter 7. And this is Solomon talking to his son about wisdom. And he goes, look, he was at the window of my house. I looked out from my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, and I've perceived among the youth a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. It's not a good time. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, at every corner, she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I've offered sacrifices, and today I paid my vows. So now I've come to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I've found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, covered linens. I've perfume on my bed, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not home. He is gone on a long journey and taken a bag of money with him. At full moon, he'll come home. This last part here, when I read that, she's saying, look, we're going to get away with it. Hey, we're going to get away with this. Come on. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside doorways. Do not stray into her paths, for many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. Who is this prostitute? Who is she? Where is she? I'll tell you what. She is all over the place right now. She is all over the place. She's on our TVs. She's on our phones. She's on our minds and our hearts. And who's the mighty throng that she's laying low? She's laying low a nation right now. She's laying low the church right now. And she laid my life low for years in high school. Laid my life low. And I was caught up in it. Watching things I shouldn't have been watching. Doing things I shouldn't have been doing. And I couldn't be free of it. I was this bird caught in a net. An ox caught in a snare. I couldn't be free. Jesus says, he says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. It's a slave to sin. There's no getting away from it. You're a slave to sin. I was a slave to sin. And sin is unrelenting. It's unforgiving. It's totally destructive. There's no getting away from it. And that's where I was. And I found myself in a place wanting to be free. But I couldn't be free. And sin is the power of the devil. There is a one who's at work in this world. It's not just some force. There's an enemy at work. And he had control of my life. And I wanted to be free. And I could not be free. And I remember one night going into my backyard, and I poured my heart out to God. I said, free me. Free me, God. Free me, God. This was in the hour of darkness. In the hour of sin. Free me. But all I felt on me was just the rain. There was no feeling of freedom. It was just me pouring my heart out, wondering, all right, I did this, so what now? And I remember a few weeks later going to my dad and telling him, hey, this is what's going on. I was in high school at the time. This is what's going on. And my dad, man, how good he was. He heard me. He said to me, thank you. He goes, don't do it anymore. Stop. Just stop doing it. Don't do this anymore. And he said this with a heart that cared, heart that loved me. I didn't feel any weight of judgment with it. I knew the severity of the things I was doing and the disappointment of what I'd done, but he said, don't do it anymore. And that was good. That, I felt like that restored a relationship that was broken between me and my dad. When sin's in your life, I'm telling you, it destroys relationships, destroys trust. You're running, you're hiding. It's the darkness. You're keeping things concealed. Sin does this. But I still didn't have the total freedom. And the total freedom didn't come until I was taken to the cross. That's where it came at. That's why when I poured my heart out to God and I said, free me, I didn't feel anything. That's honestly why I believe it. It's because he said, you know what, Robert? I see you. I hear you. He hears us at all times. I hear you. I love you. Maybe those tears, maybe that rain coming down that night was God's tears just falling onto me. Maybe. And he was planning and preparing a way to take me to the cross. Because there came a day when my sister was asked to go to a church service. We went to church off and on growing up. But my sister, she got asked to go to a youth group service. Praise God for youth ministry. Praise God. Praise God for our pastors in youth ministry, our workers, our servants in youth ministry. Praise God for the kids, the youth that are going faithfully. I went because my sister needed a ride. And I felt like, oh man, I don't want to get on God's bad side by refusing to take my sister to a youth service. And I was in college now, so I drive her to this high school service, and she runs off with her friends, and they're all up in the front of the church. This was a large church in Everett, Washington, and I just go tuck myself in the back, where there was, you know, really where there wasn't much light in the darkness. That's where I was. Makes sense, actually, now that I went back there, because that's where my life was. It was in the darkness. In my mind, I'm like, well, I'm in college now. I don't need to be up there with all of them. But I had to stick around to give her a ride home. So I'm there. And while I'm there, the pastor's preaching. He's talking about the gift of life. He's sharing about Jesus. The man who came to this earth, who lived for us, who died for us, and ascended to the Father's right side. Shared about this man. And I don't know what it was. I'd heard it before. But I heard it that night. And immediately, God impressed upon me a conviction of everything that I had done and I was doing. There is a judgment for sin. There is a judgment for sin. We have to know this. We have to understand this. Because God is perfect, He's righteous, and He is holy. And not only that, He hasn't removed Himself from us, but He's come to be with us and live among us. That's why there's a judgment. Because He's come and He's lived among us in the person of His Son. And what did we do with Him? We didn't listen to Him. We didn't trust Him. We didn't follow Him. Even those who were closest to Him took up swords. And one cut off the ear of a servant. He was numbered with the transgressors. And they fled away. But he went. He went the way that he was called to go. And he suffered. And he died. And he bled for us. And he was risen again. And at the end of that message, the pastor made a call forward. He said, come on forward. Everyone who wants to receive life, who wants to know God and have a relationship, come forward. And it was amazing. No sooner was I just pushed down by the weight of sin. It was like the River Jordan opening up. It was like the Red Sea opening up. I saw a path to life. And it was right down an aisle way to the front where people were being called. And it came through an offer to know Jesus. To know Jesus. And if there's anyone here who's wrestling, who's suffering, who's struggling, and you don't have forgiveness for your sins or relationship with God, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Because in the moment you call out to Him for forgiveness, the moment that you call out to Him for life, and you start following Him, He meets you. Instantaneously. He meets you. He fulfills the promises that He has given. And I'll remember my sister, always remember her meeting me for the first time after that transaction took place. Because I was a mess. I was no longer this brother who was just doing his own thing, you know. I ran up to her and I grabbed her and I shook her. And I'm like, what is this? Where's this been all my life? Where's this been all my life? And she's like, what's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? And I'm like, it's Jesus. Jesus is in my life now. He's in my life. It's so good. And that's just what I wanted to declare now. It's so good. Yes. And if you've been following him for a while, and you've been kind of going this way and that way, just turn to him again. He's there. Start reading his word. He's there. And he'll meet you. And he'll lift you up. He's good. Coming into God's grace and God's forgiveness is not just about being forgiven and having your account made level. It's not about just having your account made level. It's about experiencing the grace and goodness and favor of God for all of eternity. Now and forevermore. And I look forward to this day when Jesus returns and he takes for himself his kingdom in this world. I look forward to that day. But I'll tell you what, I praise him so much. I praise him so much because I see bits and pieces of it in magnificent ways in this life. Because I have a woman now who said, Robert, I love you. I love you. And I go, babe, no. I like you a lot. Man, I'm really excited about where this is going, but then I'm hit again with my past. I'm hit again with everything I've done. And I go, I'm not good enough. These are the things I've done. You need to know this. And I was going down. But this time, it wasn't a conviction from God. It was, again, the enemy wanting to come in and push me down, make me forget who I am. But I had Sarah there, and she goes, who does he see you as? How does God see you? I'm like, don't do this to me. Like Sarah said, don't do this to me. No, you need to tell me. You need to say it. How does he see you? And I go, beloved. Sees me as beloved. She's like, that's right, but that's not all. I need more. I'm like, holy, righteous, all through his son Jesus. That's how he sees us. I know I'm taking time here. The last thing I want to hit on, we live in an amazing time right now. We live in an amazing time. We live in a time of the gospel of the kingdom. Job's heart was sorrowful because Jesus died. But you know what Jesus said to his disciples when they were sorrowful? He said, no, don't be sorrowful. He goes, me going away is actually better. It's more advantageous to you that I go away. It's better. Do we think that? Do we really believe that? It's better. Why is it better? Because when I go, I'm going to send the helper. Who needs the helper? Right here. We need the helper. I tell you, each and every day. He goes, I'm going to send the helper. Now think about this. Think. Track with me here. Because I've been mulling over this. I think it's big. I know it's big. It's in here. The helper. We just read last night at story time about Pentecost. What happened at Pentecost? The tongues of fire came down. They came down. What did they do? They rested on those who believed and followed Jesus. They rested. Amazing picture was brought forth to me. When's the other time we've seen this eternal flame of fire burning in the Bible? We saw it in Exodus. We saw it with a man named Moses. He's out in the wilderness. We're kind of out in the wilderness right now. A lot of sin and misery around us in the wilderness. But he saw this flame burning in the wilderness. He was like, wow, what's that? I'm going to go up near to it. But you know what? He became afraid as he got near. And then the voice spoke from the flame and it said, hey, take off your sandals. Bow yourself down. He was afraid. And the eternal God was presenting to himself to Moses right there. But now, that flame that caused Moses fear, caused him just to throw himself down, that flame lives in our hearts. Lives in our hearts. We have to know this. What we're experiencing now in relationship to God and Christ is more significant than what Moses experienced in his life. Moses saw the wonder and the power of God, but we have the risen Savior in our life and in our hearts. We have to know this, and we have to walk with this daily. May it encourage you. May it lift you up. May it encourage you. May it lift you up. Praise God. That's what I got to say.
Let's pray for Rob. Lord, thank you. Lord, we thank you for Rob. We thank you for Sarah, their family, Lord. We just thank you for encouraging us today through Rob, Lord. And Lord, we pray you'll continue to anoint him to speak your truth, Lord, to those inmates at the jail and how, God, you've used him incredibly there. And you'll continue to use him there, Lord, as your Holy Spirit penetrates every cell in his body, Lord. Thank you, God, for Rob. Thank you for the blessing that he is to this church and to us as leaders. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Rob.